Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Does God know what you're going to do tomorrow? You might say, of course, but some theologians say, no way. Today, Erwin Lutzer brings a theological debate down to where you and I live. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Today, Erwin Lutzer is speaking on lie number 7, that God doesn't know our future decisions, a position with a lot of problems as we come to the Word of God.
Let me tell you, another problem with it is the predictions of God. Do you know that according to their theology, and they state explicitly, and there are a number of theologians who are now accepting this, that Jesus did not know infallibly that Judas would betray him. There was no way that he could know that. Judas could have backed out in the last minute. He could have just simply said, you know what, come to think of it, I'm going to rethink this, and I'm not going to do what I was planning to do. We do that all the time. Judas could have done it. I want you to notice, and I don't even have enough time to ask you to turn to these passages. I have a friend who's preaching 8 messages on this business of a finite God. I thought to myself, you know, if I could have at least 6, that would be wonderful. But notice this. It says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 52, Judas had just betrayed Jesus. Peter is taking his sword, and he's cutting off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Jesus said, "Do you not think that I can call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scripture be fulfilled that say this must happen in this way?" Do you remember years ago? I don't expect you to remember, but I do. I remember my sermons better than you folks do, I think. Years ago, I preached an entire message on that little word, must. That little word must. These things must come to pass. You know, Jesus couldn't have known that Judas would betray him according to this theology, but it gets worse than that. God did not know for sure that Christ would be crucified, because everybody could have backed out. The Jews might have said, well, you know, he's giving us trouble, but there are some people for him. He's not worth the trouble. Let him go. And the Romans, of course, they'd have been happy to oblige. And here Jesus comes to earth to die, and there's nobody to put him to death because, oh, God, he thought that they were going to do it, and then they changed their minds. And now he's stuck with a redemption that isn't working. Clark Pinnock says, well, God has plan A, and if plan A doesn't work, then he goes to plan B. My dear friend, if he fails with plan A, what assurance do we have of plan B or plan C or whatever? I mean, think of the implications. What does the Bible say? We'll look at this next week, Acts chapter 4. Him he was offered by the predetermined counsel of God, and him you crucified. And in chapter 2 of Acts, Peter says, by the foreknowledge of God, and as your will was done, he was offered. He died at the right time. There were no risks. God was not in heaven saying, I hope somebody's going to do the deed, but I'm not sure. What kind of a God is that? Which leads me to another question. Oh, by the way, why did I put my wristwatch here on the podium? That was a bad decision. Did you know that God, just put this in your mind here. Did you know that God, 100 years before Cyrus was born, named him and predicted his most important foreign policy decision? That's in Isaiah 44 and 45, 100 years before he was born. Now listen, in order for God to do that, you know what he needed to do? He needed not only to know that Cyrus was going to come to the throne and have a conflict and would win so that he would be king of Persia, but he had to know who Cyrus's parents were and who their grandparents would be and their grandparents and all the way back, and all according to this line, it had to be that Cyrus had to be born. He had to rise to be king of Persia, and then God says when he's king, he's going to let the Jews go back. 150 years later, when he became the king, he did what God said. And you know what it says in Isaiah? God says, the reason I'm naming him ahead of time is because I want you to know that I'm different from all the other gods around you that don't know the future. Of course God knows the future. What about the faith. It undermines the Word of God. It undermines the predictions of God, and it totally undermines confidence in God. Totally. Now, folks, you need to think about this. Here you are, you're driving along a highway, and someone who is inebriated, to speak more clearly, he is drunk, is going along the highway at 70 miles an hour. God has no more idea where this is all going to end up than the helicopter number 2 that is hovering above the man who's driving. That's all that God knows. He has no idea, because how in the world do you predict the decision of free creatures? And nobody is more free than someone who is drunk going 70 miles an hour. So God has no idea. Wouldn't you know it, however, you are coming along the other side of the street, and that man turns in and hits you, and you're dead. Right like that. Now suddenly, much to God's surprise, you arrive in heaven, because he did not know that it was going to end this way. Right. And so, you know, you meet Jesus and say, I can't believe this. We don't even have your condo finished yet. And here you are. I honestly thought that you still had work to do here on earth, but what are you going to do? We live in a contingent universe, and there was no way to predict where that guy was going to turn. He has free will. Can you trust a God who does not know in the morning that you're going to be dead by the afternoon? Can you really trust a God like that? Let's even make it more cosmic. Can you trust a God who does not know but that some people might actually gang together and set off a nuclear holocaust, and the whole world be blown up by nuclear missiles, and God did not know it ahead of time because he gave these people free will and they were operating on this basis, and now God is faced with a world that's been blown up when he had so many other plans that he was going to do, and here it is. It's all in shambles. Does it not almost make you want to weep for God? Doesn't it make you feel sad that he's so finite? I'm so glad that the God that these people talk about is not the God of the Bible. And you know what? I think down deep in their hearts, they know that too. If they were faced with a man who had a gun and he was pointing that gun at them, even though they'd say, Lord, we know that you have no idea how this is going to end up, even though we know that you have no control over this gunman, Lord, could you possibly do something? I think they would begin to pray like the rest of us would pray, believing that ultimately our future is not in the hands of fate. It's in the hands of God. And that's the God that I commend to you today at Moody Church. I want you to have a God whom you love and a God whom you can trust, for whom there are no surprises. That's what I want for you. And I love him, and I hope that you love him, and I hope that you trust him and know that not a single thing can happen to you without him knowing ahead of time. Well, those strings on the violin, folks, listen, you give up God's omniscience, you immediately have to make, if he's finite with regard to knowledge, you have to make him finite with regard to power. One of these theologians says, well, he's doing his best. Well, I know a lot of people who are doing their best and they're not getting anywhere. So he's finite with regard to power. He's certainly finite with regard to wisdom, because he has no idea where this is all going to end up. He couldn't predict the fall or anything else. No, that's a God. That's a different God. That's a different God. Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn very briefly, and I'm sorry that it has to be brief, to Psalm 139. And I think that the best thing I can do today is to simply give you an outline, make a comment, and tell you that at some other time, I'll preach a full sermon on this marvelous psalm. The Psalm of God's Knowledge. I want you to notice in verses 1 to 6, he says, oh God, you know me continually. Or rather, you know me exhaustively. You know me entirely. That's verses 1 to 6. Oh, Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Well, how could that be if he doesn't know what I'm going to say? Well, anyway, let's leave that. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, saying, I can't grasp it. I began this message by talking about libraries filled with books all about you. What a remarkable thing that is. I can't grasp it. We have computers today that have so much knowledge and so much information. I look at it and I say, it's overwhelming. How can these computers know that much? Well, they know a lot, but they don't know the number of grains of sand you had on your shoe when you stepped onto the sidewalk this morning. And God knows that. God knows that. You know me entirely. And then he begins to think, is there some way for me to get away from all this? I once read a story about a man who was in a prison and he was guarded 24 hours a day. He said that as he looked through the bars, he could always see two eyes and how freaky it was to have to live in that environment. Well, I want you to know that God has his eyes trained on us that way. And so he begins to ask, is there some place where I can go that maybe God doesn't see me? Where do I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths in Sheol, you are there. I rise on the wings of dawn. If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, here's my last option, maybe darkness. You notice thieves always work in the dark because they don't want to be seen. That's tough news. The verses here are tough news because what does it say? Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is like light to you. All of the sins that we commit in the presence of God, we commit as in broad daylight. They are open to him. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Oh God, you know me entirely. God, you know me continually. You even know me prophetically. You knew me before I was born. You knew me when I was a fetus. Notice, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth that is in his mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. There's no way that some drunk can drive into my car and kill me without God not knowing about it. And, as far as I'm concerned, it being part of his book. Notice that.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Lie That God Doesn't Know Our Future Decisions, the 7th of 10 Lies About God. Next time, some final thoughts and some questions on this modern deception about God. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a CD series sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.